Okay, this is our last message from the book of Malachi. And the title for today's message is, Are You Ready? As I just think about, I keep bringing up the Cubs, but as I was thinking about what has happened for them and the sort of long suffering of 70 years of not being able to say the Cubs are in the pennant or won the pennant, that they're in the World Series. That sort of long-standing drought, you, Dick, how long have you been waiting for this day? Forever and ever, huh? Five? it's just something that people have been longing for and waiting for, and to say that, Mike, you're ready for the Cubs to be in the World Series, like you've been ready and waiting as a kid, listening to the games. I love just hearing stories, Mike being on the tractor and listening to the Cubs play through the summer, right? That's a story you've told me. Don't be making things up, right? You know, it's like, and so just to know folks and their story and this, they've been ready and waiting for this day, listening to the Cubs, watching the Cubs. Dick, did you want to make a better point than me? Yeah, White Sox fans are terrible. Sorry. I think that there might be one of you out there. I'm a Detroit Tigers fan, so just take it as that. But anyways, enough about sports, but it's a perfect illustration for just what our text is going to be about this morning. And it's this, are you ready for the Lord to come back? You know, in preparation of thinking about this, my original sort of opening thing was about just that sort of anticipation sometimes when you misbehaved and dad or mom would say, wait for your dad to get home. And so if you were in trouble, there was a lot of angst. But really, when you're a perfect kid like I was and you were rarely in trouble, what it meant was sometimes I would ask mom, and it wasn't, her response was not a punishment thing. It was, wait till your dad gets home. And then we can eat dinner. That's what I was thinking about. Because as soon as Dad got home, Mom would have the dinner ready and we'd be able to sit together as a family and eat a meal. And so wait for your dad to get home may have been bad news for you, but it was good news for me because I knew that when Dad got home, we would be eating a meal together and it would be time together as a family. And so there's a sort of angst for people. If you're in big trouble, wait for your dad to get home. There's a punishment. If you were looking forward to food as a family, it was a good thing. This morning's text is really about a good thing and a bad thing. Are you ready for the Lord's return? Yes or no? That's an important question to answer for yourself. As we'll look at this text, we need to remember the sort of journey that we've gone through in Malachi. And so I'd like to highlight a couple of things because I think it's important as we come into the conclusion of the text. So we're going to preach, the text this morning is Malachi 4, but if you jump back to the beginning, we can remember the sort of journey we've gone through together. In Malachi 1, verse 2, the Lord says, I have loved you. But they asked, how have you loved us? We remember that this is Israel that's returned to the promised land, but their hearts haven't totally returned to God. They might be there physically, but still they're having a lot of problems. And right from the very get-go, we see that they're not really sure that God loves them. How have you loved us? And if you remember, it was that God is in covenant with them, and God has this everlasting love for them. Despite their ineptitude and all the things that they mess up, God is still wholly devoted to them through his covenant. That's verse 1, 2. If you jump down a little ways, in Malachi 1, in kind of in the verse 6, it's halfway through verse 6, it is, you priests who show contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? And the prophet responds, by offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? And he says, by saying that the Lord's table is contemptible when you offer blind animals for sacrifice. Is that not wrong when you sacrifice lame or diseased animals? Is that not wrong? And so Malachi addresses a heart problem. He says, you guys come in for worship and you're not bringing your very best. You come in and you offer what's easy for you to offer. The diseased animal, the broken animal, something that you don't have nothing to do with. That's what you've decided to bring to God. Excuse me, sorry. And so they bring half of a sacrifice. They bring less than their best. If you jump over to the end of chapter 2, we covered that the people have wearied God in chapter 2:17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. And they wonder, how have we wearied you? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. And they wonder where God's justice is. And we covered that week that the world and culture around us is much the same as it is, as it was back in the days of Malachi. That they have wearied God by saying what's good is evil and what's evil is good. And they question whether or not God is even in existence and if he even cares. And so when we look at the text and it comes then out in chapter 3, in verse 7, God says, if you will return to me, I will return to you. I address the past problems and solutions to remind us that this was written to a people who claimed to believe in God. That we would come to chapter 4 and thinking that this text is for someone other than for ourselves, then we need to really refresh our hearts and our minds of what the journey has been. The journey has been people who claimed to be one thing but then didn't follow through. They didn't believe in God's love, and the priest fell short of their job, and the people no longer brought their best to God. They brought their second best or even their worst to him. And so just a reminder of the journey that we've been on, God is calling his people, Israel, back to him. Will they return? Now let's pick up in Malachi 4, verse 1. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Man, what a happy note to end on, right? Surely the day is coming, and it'll burn like a furnace. A couple of weeks ago, we got a great message from Eugene Neihardt. Just a wonderful job. You heard what preaching should be like. And his line was, the best is yet to come. You guys remembered it. See, can you name a single sermon that you remember from me? But you guys know that one. The best is yet to come. And his message was, it took us through the book of Hebrews, and the message was over and over again for those faithful ones, they believed and they held on to this hope that the best was yet to come. But his conclusion was one that we kind of don't want to hear, but it was biblical and it was true. And he said, but for some, the best is not yet to come. For some who are outside of Christ, the best is not yet to come for them. And that's sort of the heart of the message, that as Malachi, he finishes his sermon, he finishes and closes it the same way that Eugene closed his. The best is yet to come for those who believe in Christ Jesus, who's Lord and make him their Lord and King. But for those evildoers and those who have done wrong and just all sorts of destruction and problems and hurt and pain, for those, they're going to be stubble. There's going to be nothing left. There's going to only be destruction. God will send fire and cleanse the earth of all that's evil. Are you ready for his return? There are times where I think, yes, Lord, please come. And then there are times where I think, God, the job here is not yet done. And there are neighbors, and there are families, and there are people in our lives that just haven't quite said what they need to say and do what they need to do to say they are right with the Lord. And this message, as uncomfortable as it makes us, and why does it make us uncomfortable? It makes us uncomfortable because, for me at least, is this sense of we're not allowed to tell people that the end result of their life is destruction. Right? That's not a popular message these days. And heaven forbid I become the hellfire and brimstone preacher of years gone by. But it's hard not to address the matter that there are some real serious problems in our world. But they're people. And we wrestle with, can God do that? Do we want God to do it? And one of the most important things with this whole entire text is to remember why God has to. God has to destroy evil because if he doesn't, it's just going to still be there, right? It's the simple, logical conclusion. If God doesn't vanquish sin and destruction and death, it's always going to be there. And so we have to hope for that. As hard as it might be to think about losing people we love, I don't understand it. And if you say, Jordan's condemning everybody to hell this morning, I don't mean that to be the message. But the message you have to hear is that this morning there is hope and salvation in Jesus Christ, and there's time for you to respond. And the time for you to respond is today, not in tomorrow. And yes, I still believe that God is a loving God and a merciful God, but I also know that there are people in this world who are hurting and suffering pain endlessly, and God's going to do something about that, and to do that, God has to get rid of evil. Otherwise, we're going to have this suffering and pain and hurt and destruction along with us all forever. So if we want the wonders of heaven, we need God to totally vanquish evil. And it makes logical sense to us, but relationships and life make this a lot messier than what we want it to be. Does that make sense? And so if it doesn't make sense, what I'm saying is we need to turn our hearts towards God. For those who remain in evil and continue in evil, the message is stern. The best is not yet to come. But for those who revere the name of God, those who honor God, listen to what the hope is for those who return to the Lord and give themselves wholly over to God. It says in verse 2, but for you who revere my name, and just close your eyes for a second, not for 5 minutes, Dick and Mike and others, but for you who revere my name, just close your eyes and picture this. The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. All right, open your eyes, run the risk of snoozing. The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays and bring with it, and all you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wickedness. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day when I act. When God returns, when the Lord returns, he brings with him righteousness. And along with that is healing. Along with that is joy. Along with the Lord's return is justice. God will right the world. God will set things straight. God will bring right His righteousness here with us. And so the answer to the question of, are you ready for the Lord's return, when I read that there is healing in the rays of the Son of Righteousness when He returns, yes, Lord, please come. And bring your righteousness, and bring your joy, and bring your healing. For my friends, and I look at the prayer list, and I pray the prayers, and I am just so tired of praying, Lord, heal them. Not because I'm just tired of it. And I say, Lord, come and make my friends well. Heal the hurting people in their marriages. Heal the hurting people who have cancer and we don't know why and it makes us sick. Heal our friends who have Parkinson's. Heal our friends who are just hurting and we don't have any way to do anything about it. But come. Come and bring your healing rays to this world. And get rid of the evil and get rid of all the things that just tear us all apart and all of the destruction. And God, just please come. Are you ready for His return? Because for His return, some, it's not the best yet to come, but for those who believe in the Lord, those who revere His name, they will be like well-fed calves. And I thought, surely YouTube has to have well-fed calves that are happy. And so I just want to show them to you real quick. Jared, look at this. Look at that guy. Just happy, happy, happy. What's wrong with Mike? Mike's questioning whether or not they're okay. Are they sickly? Oh. When the Lord returns, they will be like well-fed calves who frolic. Now, I've seen some of y'all when you get a little happy, and it's kind of some kind of gyrations. I'm not sure what all y'all are doing. But imagine the joy set upon our hearts when the healing comes and God sets the world right. There are so many things that divide us, hurt us, pain, suffering, all of our stories are reminders of our past and even in our future, of knowing that suffering is just this sort of ongoing thing. But there's a day coming in which God will take that all away. A day in which our hope will be, all the things we hope for in Christ will be set before us. And so God's instruction is that things will be set right. And all of the things that we've hoped for and the best is yet to come. He says, remember the law of my servant Moses. The decrees and laws I gave him at Oreb for Israel, all Israel. He says, remember the law of my servant Moses. This message may not mean a whole lot to us, and perhaps it should read, remember the law of Christ. Remember Him. As we go through our life and we wonder, God, what is it? When will You come? When will You return? For us, we have two things to do. That we would revere the name of Lord, that we would love Him, honor Him, respect Him, and devote our lives to God through Christ. That we would remember Christ. I know maybe it should be more complex than that. But friends, it's really truly that simple. When you wake up in the morning, will you remember the Lord? When you go about your work, will you remember the Lord? When you face suffering and hurt, will you remember the Lord? When you gather together as believers, will you remember the Lord? when you face the hurt of others and you're not quite sure what to say, will you remember the Lord? Will you remember Him on the cross, laying down His life for you? Will you remember the grave being empty on the third day? Will you remember Him telling us and teaching us to follow Him at every cost? Will you remember the Lord? And friends, it meant so much to me, oftentimes, when my mom would say, just wait for your dad to get home. Because it meant that it was a time together with family, around a meal together. And friends, maybe you are really not as well behaved as I was, and the words might frighten you to this day. But may the words, wait for your father to get home, be of lasting hope and encouragement to you, that one day our Father will return, and righteousness will dwell here on the earth. And friends, the hope is that there will be justice, wrongs will be made right, that there will be healing in the rays of the sunshine of His righteousness. And friends, we will be the happiest we've ever been. Take the joy of 70 long years of suffering waiting for the Cubs to go to the World Series and multiply it exponentially. Exponentially, the joy that it will be the day that finally our Lord has come home. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, we love You. And we thank You. We thank You for the challenging word from Malachi to remind us, Lord, that You deserve our very best. Reminding us again and again that we are loved by You and You have given us a covenant of love through Your Son Christ. God, there is an opportunity today for us to return to You. Father, and there's an opportunity today for our friends and our families and those, Lord, that we long to have come into a relationship with You. And so, God, as a people, stir our hearts, Lord, for there are many who are lost. So many, Lord. And for that reason, we want You to hold off on Your return, because there's people who need to know You. But Lord, there is so much around us that we are just plain exhausted of. And we imagine that You are too. But Lord, You continue to offer Your love. You continue to offer Your mercy. And for that, we thank You. And Lord, we thank You that it's in Your time and not in our own. Lord, there is so much in this text for us to trust You in. And God, we want to poke holes in it. We want to, folks want to use it to speak poorly of You. But God, may we see it with fresh eyes that it is Your goodness and Your love and Your mercy oozing from the text, Lord, and pouring out into Your people. Lord, that we would be spurred on by this text to reach our neighbors, to share with friends and family who need to know You. God, stir in Your people here a desire to share the good news of Your Son, Jesus. God, that no matter what their past is, their future can be with You. And God, we want to thank You for this text to remind us of Your goodness, of Your healing, of Your joy. And God, while it might look funny for us to dance like the calves, we know that day will come and we will celebrate with You and how we long for You to be home here with us. So Lord, as Your child, Father, please come home.